Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, where world-class doctors are pioneering immunotherapy that's helping to stop cancer in its tracks. And with screenings and advanced treatments across the state, it's cancer care made for Marylanders. Learn more at umms.org/cancer.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A with our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russett. Good to see you, Judy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
So we're going to talk about Wicked. So the stage version of Wicked is at the Hippodrome Theater as we speak. It's there until Sunday. And of course, there are not one, but two movies about Wicked. It's been on Broadway now for, what, about 350 years. The stage play, as I mentioned, it's at the Hippodrome. And the movies here as well. So, what do you attribute this sudden confluence of wickedness here in Baltimore?
Well, I think it's partly coincidence and it's partly good timing. The touring production is wrapping up a multi-week run here at the Hippodrome, and the run just happens to coincide with part two of the Wicked movie, which is subtitled For Good, because on stage, one show. On screen, Two long shows. Yes.
They ain't short movies, is what I'm told. I haven't seen them, but that's what
I'm going to give you a brief Wicked refresher course.
Okay.
The Broadway musical opened in 2003. It's based on a novel called Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West by Gregory Maguire. And it's a prequel to L. Frank Baum's classic, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz has been called the great American fairy tale, and I agree with that. The musical has a score by Stephen Schwartz, you know that name, Pippin and Godspell, and it has a script by Winnie Holtzman. Like the novel, it tells the backstories of a number of the characters in The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, the Cowardly Lion, but mostly it focuses on the backstory of the relationship between Glinda the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the West. Her name is Elphaba for L. Frank Baum, and she has green skin. They meet in school. Elphaba is shunned for her skin, and Glinda is the school's, I would say, self-proclaimed most popular girl. And they immediately loathe each other. But a deep friendship grows between them, and that's the thematic core of Wicked. So the Broadway musical, as you mentioned, it's still playing. It is now the fourth longest running show in Broadway history. And this is the fourth time the show's come to the Hippodrome here in Baltimore, the touring production. And as I mentioned, the movie is two full-length parts. The first part was released in 2024. The second part, Wicked for Good, was released a year later.
Well, it's interesting. Since 2003, it's been on Broadway. I have a friend who conducts Wicked on Broadway, David Evans. 2003 is the year I joined WYPR. That's a long time ago. So on stage, of course, Wicked is much less than 3 hours. I saw it. I don't remember how long ago it was. I took my daughter to see it when she was little, and she's not little anymore. But it's been turned into two full-length movies. So is there a lot of new material in each of these movies? How is it that the movies are so much longer than the stage show?
In several ways. There is some new material. The second movie, For Good, has a couple new songs. They're not on the indelible earworm level of Wicked. The original songs say—
Did Steve write them? Steve
yes,
Schwartz write
yes,
them?
Yes, yes. But I'm sure you remember, even just from one viewing, songs like Defying Gravity and Popular, and for that matter, the song For Good. The first time I heard Stephen Schwartz's score, I thought it was his best, and those songs in particular.
I agree, they're wonderful. And I'm Not That Girl is a beautiful ballad.
They really are, and they reveal character and the inner workings of the characters' minds. And yes, several songs are longer in each of the movies. The order of the songs is also somewhat different in the movies. For example, the stage version opens with the song No One Mourns the Wicked, and it's reprised at the start of the second act. On screen, it's the opening song of the first movie, but it's not in the second movie at all. The melody, however, is a leitmotif for Elphaba and her perceived wickedness. I brought a bit of that opening song from the Broadway cast album. Let's listen.
Yeah.
That's the Broadway cast of Wicked singing No One Mourns the Wicked. And are there other changes in the movie, in Wicked for Good, the second one here?
Yes. Both movies have flashback scenes that we don't see on stage. And in both movies, we briefly see the Wizard of Oz's Dorothy. But on stage, she's just a shadow. There's also more, or at least larger scale, dance sequences in the movie. Christopher Scott is the movie's choreographer. And there are more visual effects, which you'd expect in a movie set in a fanciful place. The director is John M. Chu. I want to get back to the new songs. There are new solos for both of the main characters, Glinda, played by Ariana Grande, and Elphaba, played by Cynthia Erivo. Erivo gives a powerhouse performance. I think it's Academy Award caliber. I'm not sure what your previous guests think. I wouldn't say...
They're both really good singers.
They are.
They're hugely good singers. Gosh, are they talented.
There's a depth to Erivo's acting that I didn't feel quite as much with Grande. And both new songs are kind of lackluster. I brought Glinda's song. This is Ariana Grande. Let's listen.
If she comes down from the sky, gives the real world a try, who in the world is she now? And though so much of her wishes that she could float on, and the beautiful eyes are never stop, for the girl in the bubble, the pink shiny bubble, it's time for her bubble to pop.
That young lady can sing. She is good. That's Ariana Grande, and Cynthia Erivo is just as good, if not better. That's a tune called The Girl in the Bubble. So that's one of the new songs in the second volume of Wicked movies, Wicked for Good. So Judy, last time you were here, you mentioned that Wicked has actually some Baltimore connections. So let's talk about those.
Well, the main connection is Baltimore native Mark Platt. He's the lead producer of the Broadway musical and a producer of the two movies. I interviewed him for The Sun after Wicked opened on Broadway. Wicked was originally going to be a movie. Platt was head of Universal, which had optioned the novel. And then another former Baltimorean, a New York entertainment lawyer named Nancy Rose, brought Platt together with songwriter Stephen Schwartz, and Wicked became a Broadway musical. There are some other local connections. I won't go into all of them, but one of the nice ones for the stage show at the Hippodrome now is that the cast of that production includes an actress from Baltimore named Melissa Victor.
Terrific. And so it's at the Hippodrome, and it's about to launch another tour of the universe?
This one didn't start out here. There are many versions of Wizard of
Oz. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different.
And yes, an earlier version started out here, I think it was last season. But this one is in the midst of a tour that, I don't know, it's been here four times.
Yeah,
it could
it's
go
been
on
forever.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's good to have all those folks get all that work. So, but in the final analysis, what do you think? Do you have a preference for the stage version of Wicked or the screen version of Wicked? That's an unfair question. I'm happy to ask it.
Well, and I have to start by saying I prefer both versions, stage and screen, to the novel. The novel has a lot of cutesy, made-up words, words like braverism and discoverate. I could see you making a face, and I
was
have
talking
to, say,
to Stefan Fatsis about made-up words just yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Well, I had trouble getting through the novel. I did, but it was an effort. I greatly preferred the second film for good over the first one. It moves better. The characters are better developed, which isn't surprising when you have this much screen time. Let's face it, though. I'm a theater critic, and there's nothing like the live experience. Jesse Davidson, who plays Elphaba in the touring production, gives a stronger performance than Zoe Jensen as Glinda, but Elphaba's the stronger character. Interestingly, the musical on stage, and even more so on screen, changes Elphaba's fate. And that suggests that there could be a sequel to the prequels. Director John Chu has not ruled this out. As they say in Hollywood, there's buzz.
There's buzz. A sequel to the prequel. Well, that sounds like a Hollywood thing. All right, so the Spotlighters production of Seven Guitars is the next thing we're going to talk about. And I'll remind folks that Wicked is at the Hippodrome Theater until Sunday. And, of course, Wicked for Good is in Area Movie Theater. So next week we are going to talk about Seven Guitars. That's another August Wilson play. And there's a whole series of August Wilson plays that have been performed and will be performed coming up.
That's right. It's part of this 3-year Baltimore August Wilson celebration.
All right. Well, I look forward to talking about that then. So thanks so much. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Tom.
And J. Wynn Russick, our theater critic, her latest novel is Please Write, A Novel in Letters. And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, WIPR News Director Matt Bush will talk with local reporters about 3 county executive races, Howard County, Anne Arundel County, and Baltimore County. They are on tap this year. They are going to be crowded fields, and we'll see what happens with that. You'll get a little preview with Matt Bush and his guests tomorrow on Midday. Up next, it's Fresh Air. Today, the guest is the actor Tessa Thompson. Midday's director and engineer is Shania Mapson. Sam Burmistaz and Rob Sivak produced the program. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your local NPR news station.